Our Old Testament reading today is going to be from the 42nd chapter of Psalm, verses 1 through 4. As a deer longs for flowing streams, so my soul longs for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and behold the face of God? My tears day and night, while people say to me continually, "Where is your God?" These things I remember as I pour out my soul. How I went with the throng and led them in procession to the house of God. With glad shouts and songs of thanksgiving, a multitude keeping festival. The New Testament today is from Galatians chapter 3, verses 23 through 29. Now before faith came, we were imprisoned and guarded under the law until faith would be revealed. Therefore, the law was our disciplinarian until Christ came, so that we might be reckoned as righteous by faith. But now the faith has come. We are no longer subject to the disciplinarian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female, for all you are one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring according to the promise. The word of God for the people of God.
Let us pray. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be truly acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. An older man lived alone, and he wanted to dig his potato garden, but it was very hard work. And his only son, Jesse, who used to help him, was in prison. So the old man wrote a letter to his son and described his predicament. "Dear Jesse, I'm because it looks like I won't be able to plant my potato garden this year. I'm just getting too old to be digging up the garden plot. If you were here, all my troubles would be over. I know you would dig the plot for me. Love, Dad." And a few days later, he received a letter from his son. And it read, "Dear Dad, for heaven's sakes, don't dig up that garden. That's where I buried the bodies. Love, Jesse." At 4 o'clock the next morning, the federal and local police showed up and dug up the entire area without finding any bodies. They apologized to the old man and they left. And the same day, the old man received another letter from his son. "Dear Dad, go ahead and plant the potatoes now. This is the best I could do under the circumstances. Love, Jesse." One of the Junior Girl Scout badges that I earned many years ago was the Pen Pal badge. The requirements included learning how to address and compose an actual letter and corresponding with someone for several months. Well, my pen pal was my great-grandmother, who lived in St. Louis while I was living in Louisville. And I would give anything to have those letters today. But alas, they are long gone. Now, my very favorite book is Pride and Prejudice by Jane Austen, my favorite author. I reread that book several times a year. And the 1985 BBC six-part series starring Colin Firth is the best ever filmed adaptation of the novel. I don't care who would even that. The book itself is sheer perfection. And in the pages, we find the somewhat tumultuous love story of Miss Elizabeth Bennet and the wealthy but proud Mr. Darcy. And the crucial moments of the book are revealed in letters. And last Christmas, I received an elegant copy of this book, containing actual letters that you pull out from the pages that have the letters that are written in the book. And so it's like you are corresponding with the characters. It's just wonderful. It just brings an entirely new way of experiencing and enjoying the story. Well, up until about 25 years ago, people wrote letters to one another, actual letters, pen and paper. That's how you kept in touch. I mean, the telephone was good for short things, but telephone rates could be very high. And so you had different times of the day you could call when the rates would go down. But wedding invitations, birth announcements, party invitations, birthday wishes, they were all written or engraved on quality paper and sent through the mail, which was delivered twice a day. Now, who remembers twice a day mail? Yeah, there's some hands. And we looked forward to letters from loved ones in order to hear about the latest news. And as rock and roll came on the scene, there was a song that shouted, "Wait a minute, Mr. Postman, and look in his bag to see if there's a letter for the one who is waiting." Or to my baby, she wrote me a letter, which spurns the recipient to do whatever it takes to get back to his baby again. Well, all of this has changed with the advent of cell phones and technology and communicating online. And nowadays, you are probably more apt to receive a wedding invitation online than through the mail. But I still get really excited when I receive a handwritten note or card in the mail. Well, our scripture today is from one of Paul's letters, or epistles. Epistle is the Greek word for letter, which makes up the bulk of the New Testament. And here, Paul is writing to the church of Galatia. And his letter argues that we are made right with God through the faith of Jesus, not through religious law. He was writing to a group of Greek-speaking converts to Christianity who wondered if they needed to add Jewish religious practices to their new faith in Jesus. And after receiving Paul's letter, they realized there was no longer Jew or Greek, slave or free, male or female. Instead, we were one in Jesus Christ. Before Paul put pen to papyrus, people were imprisoned and guarded under the law. The religious laws of the Bible restrained and protected people, preventing them from hurting themselves and others. The law was our discipline, using a word that has a very specific meaning in the first century Greco-Roman world, one that the Galatians would have known and understood. The disciplinarian was a slave who supervised and guarded children, taking them to school and back, keeping them safe and overseeing their behavior. A nanny, as it were. The protective custody of the slave/nanny was important, but temporary, since the slave services would no longer be needed once the children grew up. In terms of the history of faith, Paul says that we were guarded under the law nanny, until faith would be revealed. In particular, until the faith of Jesus Christ would be revealed. Now, people certainly had faith in the Almighty God for many hundreds of years, but history really changed when Christ faithfully suffered death and then rose to new life. And that's why Paul wrote his letter when he did. He insists that the law was our disciplinarian until Christ came, so that we might be justified by faith. Once Christ came, no more nanny. Once Christ died and rose from the tomb, no human action is required except that we put our complete trust in him. We are justified by faith, says Paul. We are made right with God by faith. The faith of Christ is critically important here because it is Christ's faithful death and resurrection that brings God's love into the very center of human life. But our own faith is important as well. When we say yes to God and what God has done by putting our trust in Jesus, personal faith, Christ's faith, together they form the Christian faith. And now that we're in a state of faith, we no longer live in a nanny state. Faith has come, and we are no longer subject to a disciplinarian. Paul is writing that all followers of Christ are children of God, a name formerly reserved for God's nation, and it naturally applied to the first Jewish followers of Jesus. These disciples continued to practice circumcision and follow many of the religious laws of the Old Testament. But now, Paul says, we have all become children of God through our faith in Christ Jesus. For Christianity today, this letter speaks of the power of faith to create a new family of God, a new family of faith called children of God. And it doesn't matter if you have both a mother and a father. It doesn't matter if you are from a good neighborhood. It doesn't matter if you are a U.S. citizen. It doesn't matter if you are straight, gay, or trans. It doesn't matter if you have a high school diploma or a college degree. It doesn't matter if you have a job or a spouse or a car or a house or a 401k. What matters is faith. The faith of Christ, and our faith as well. That's what makes us children of God. God has broken down the barriers that divide Gentile and Jew, slave and free, male and female, from each other. For we are all one in Christ. And if we are truly one in Christ Jesus, we should be able to overcome the divisions that have fractured our community and driven us apart. There is more to unite us than to divide us if we belong to Christ. In God's eyes, unity does not mean uniformity. As Christians, we can show the world a new kind of unity, one that includes people of diverse backgrounds, diverse conditions and genders. Let us clothe ourselves in Christ and work together to bring this unity to the world around us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.